Item 7, a resolution by Supervisors Jurczyk and Broderick authorizing and directing the Office of Corporation Counsel to coordinate with outside counsel on the filing of an action for a declaration of rights in property to obtain a judgment determining the extent of the county's title and rights to the Downtown Transit Center property.
Okay, very good. Mr. Lynch, I'm sorry to call you out, but did you still have a time constraint that you needed? Very good. All right, we have one public comment card, but we'll start with Supervisor Jurczyk.
Good morning, colleagues. And, Mr. Chair, thank you for placing this item on the agenda. This is a resolution, first of all, that many of us have tussled over, but I think, you know, in good faith, and we've come to a good place with regard to our desires to move forward on development of the Transit Center. First of all, it was unanimous that the Transit Center be declared surplus property. I think we all agreed that the current use of the Transit Center is not a good use and that there was something better we could do. We've gone through a lengthy history on this, including the resolution that initiated, you know, joint planning between both the City of Milwaukee and County of Milwaukee, all the parties that are interested, including the Preserve Our Parks, different economic development. Sue Black was the chair of that committee. It went through a lengthy process. And I think we've been respectful. I think this local county board truly has shown interest in this property and moving forward in a fairly expeditious way. Now, the resolution that's before you does set out the history, and I'm going to be try to be very straightforward on this because I do have strong feelings, and yet I want to just be as close to the record as I can and respectful of what the board has done. First of all, the resolution that initially began the authorization to negotiate with Barrett was passed over a year and a half ago. In fact, by summer, it will be 2 years, 2 years ago, that we initiated a compromise that was worked out by the chairwoman. That vote from this board was 18 to nothing. So there was strong support for going forward and working through the several issues that were put in the original compromise, which included, by the way, that we clarify the status of the property under the public trust doctrine, which this local board, first of all, as owner of the property, but also as the locally elected representatives of the government, we possess a fiduciary duty as trustees under the public trust doctrine. And I think this board is respectful of our fiduciary duties and were reflected in the compromise that the chairwoman worked out and that we passed 18 to nothing. So that's, by summer, will be going on 2 years ago. We then, in February of 2013, which is now almost a year ago, directed through a resolution file 13-152 on a vote of 14-2, which is still a very strong vote from this board, to obtain legal certainty concerning the legal right to develop the property as intended and authorized under that original resolution. So those two resolutions really are the position of Milwaukee County with regard to this development. To this date, no litigation has ever been filed. There was, however, a bill prepared and passed by the Wisconsin legislature in which our outside legal counsel acted as a lobbyist and filed to be a lobbyist. And I can tell you that as chair of ECD and having received reports monthly in the ECD committee, which was required by the compromise worked out by the chairwoman, that we get updates monthly, at no time was that committee or was this board advised that our outside counsel that was directed to prepare litigation, that they were exercising duties as a lobbyist and lobbying for legislation that purported to set the line for public trust, which is a highly controversial act for the legislature to have taken. What I am here to propose, and thanks to Supervisor Broderick as co-sponsor, is that this board finally set a directive to the county executive and outside counsel that the Office of Corporation Counsel is authorized and directed forthwith to arrange for the filing of an action under Chapter 841 for a declaration of rights in property to obtain a judgment determining the extent of the county's title and rights to the downtown transit center. Now, our resolution currently states that no such action to be filed no later than March 15th, and I'm going to ask for an amendment to that, hopefully.
Supervisor Broderick has prepared an amendment.
Okay, so we do have the amendment before you then. We're asking that you amend that to March 21st. The reason for the change of the date is because the March board meeting does not take place until March 20th, and it will provide for the entire process to take place. In other words, if this board passes this resolution, we will have a full board meeting, I believe, February 4th. Then it will permit the county executive to weigh in on it, whether you know he approves or vetoes, and we will then have an opportunity at March 20th meeting, if there were a veto, to potentially override and make sure the entire process has taken place, and to clarify that the matter has been fully acted upon by county government. So the March 21st date permits that process to take place and clarifies that there'd be no outstanding issues. So first of all, I would ask, and hopefully Supervisor Broderick will move approval of that amendment, and then after the amendment, that there be approval of the full resolution. And I'd be happy to address any questions, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I do move approval of the amendment in question.
Okay. Supervisor Broderick's moving approval of amendment number 1 to item 7. Amending the date from March 15th to March 21st. Any questions or comments on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, if I could just, for full disclosure for members, I think many of you already know, but if you don't, I would like to just make sure that we're getting our record fully implemented under information that's been shared with everyone. And that is, in spite of the prior legislative action, which purported to set the line for public trust, there is now a new bill being circulated by Supervisor Sanfilippo. And I was informed yesterday that the county executive, through his lobbyist, Eric Peterson, circulated a letter to legislators asking them to join as co-sponsors to the Sanfilippo proposal. This has not yet been given a bill number, my understanding. I could be incorrect on that because this is moving pretty quickly. If the legislature has already acted, one would wonder why a second bill is being required, but in any event, it is, and this is more comprehensive than the prior one. First of all, this bill would remove this county board as the trustee for these properties, not only the transit center, but apparently a two-mile stretch along the lakeshore, and instead would place the state governing body in the position as trustee. Interestingly enough, even though they're purporting to take on the duty of trustee, they include in, or I should say, Sanfilippo includes in his bill as author that the Department of Natural Resources is not required to prepare a report, which one would wonder how anyone can have a fiduciary duty and not ask the very agency that has always been looked to for public trust reports and public trust information. It seems to fly in the face of the fiduciary duty, and yet the bill purports to replace this local body to be the trustee. It does other things as well. It purports to make findings of fact and even uses this language that the findings under this paragraph are made in lieu of and have the same effect as a final judgment entered by a court under Chapter 841. So they purport to take on judicial duties, which I think is going to set up a very controversial practice. It's going to set up constitutional issues. It's even going to set up issues under the original Northwest Trust documents. I think it's, in my opinion on this, it's going to cause more harm than good if we're really trying to develop the transit center and be true to the original compromise that this board worked out. So I just wanted to make sure that my colleagues understood that all of this is taking place so that when you vote, you have the information that I know of, at least as author, through today. So thank you for that.
Thank you. We have, as I stated, we have one public comment. We also are joined. Eric Peterson is here. The attorney is here, as well as T. Willie Smith from ECD. I wish to do as much of this in open session as possible. I'll look to Corporation Counsel to advise if we're straying into areas that you believe are best dealt with in closed session.
Mr. Chairman, could I just make one comment about that open session?
Yes.
Your agenda indicates that the open session would be held under Section 1985-1G, which is for pending or possible litigation. That's the very thing that this board wanted to happen, and yet our attorneys have done everything except litigation in spite of resolutions that we have passed. And therefore, I would suggest and would recommend, and if I were sitting on your committee, I would vote against going into closed session under that section because there is no litigation. And that in and of itself is controversial, but I think it's a controversial decision and issue that we should have an open session so our constituents, the local constituents of Maukee County, who care deeply about this lakefront site, have an opportunity to hear as to what their elected officials are doing to represent them on this issue. And I think it's highly inappropriate under this statutory section, pending litigation, to go and discuss anything other than pending litigation. It's a lobbying attempt currently before the legislature. And actually, it's this board that's trying to get into litigation to clarify the legal issues around the transit center so we can do the development. So thank you for that.
I appreciate the comment. That's why we're in open session as much as we can. But the proposal is for litigation, so I've been advised that that's why it would be appropriate to discuss any litigation strategy in a closed session. It'll be up to the committee whether members feel they want that advice. Supervisor Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, does the San Filippo bill call for DNR and for the Department of Natural Resources to be named a trustee?
Peterson, would you be willing to come talk to us about the bill? I think few people have seen it. I've certainly heard about it. Okay. Teague's going to talk to us about the bill.
Chairman and supervisors, the question that you ask is a very good question, and I think needs to be answered in the larger context of the bill. So if it's okay, I just have a few overall comments about the bill, and then we have Bushnell Nielsen here, who is an expert in the issues regarding tidal and shoreline areas that may be able to provide more direct guidance on what's in the bill and its impact on various portions. So as always, I appreciate the opportunity to give you an update on the Downtown Transit Center disposition, the Couture Project, and, of course, clearing title. As you know, the County Board, as Supervisor Jurczyk indicated, in 2011 adopted the Lakefront Gateway Plan that called for a high-value project at the Downtown Transit Center site. In 2012, the Board approved negotiations for the Couture Project, And in 2013, the board authorized expenditures related to the clearing of title. As we have mentioned previously to the Economic Development Committee and Judiciary Committee, the state has been pursuing legislation to assist in the clearing of title and making another step forward on this project. As you recall, in June, the state legislature passed a law declaring the boundary. There is new legislation, a new bill, that would provide additional findings increasing the clarity of title. This legislation provides the clarity needed from the legislature to continue with this development and protect future building sites to the west of the 1913 line. These projects represent thousands of dollars, thousands of jobs, and millions in tax base. As requested by the committee, I have here today Bushnell Nielsen, who is the outside counsel that the county has retained to assist us in clearing title. Bush, as well as I, have provided information to the county executive's government liaison, who has been working with the state to move this legislation forward. Although I have become well-versed in the title issues, we are fortunate to have Bush Nielsen, who is, an expert in the shoreline and other title issues. I have copies of the legislation here for each of you, and Bush can highlight for you what the legislation accomplishes. We are happy to review the legislation with you as part of the open session. After all, it is a public document, and we'll be going through a public process. Questions, however, on how the legislation impacts our legal strategy are more appropriately left for the portion of today's committee which are part of the closed session, particularly since there are people in the room presently who have threatened that litigation against the county. So with that, with your permission, I'd like to have Bush come up and give you an overview of the bill to directly answer the question that was asked.
Well, why don't you just distribute it first? Is there a reason why Mr. Peterson won't join us?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. How is this related to the resolution that we're supposed to be voting on in the amended about taking action? I think we're talking, these are two separate entities. If we want to discuss what the county executive is lobbying on or some state bill, shouldn't that be the agenda item versus the resolution that we have before us? Because I
got you. Well, how about, could the administration clarify that your position, as I understand it? You're arguing that we shouldn't litigate because you've got this other strategy.
Yes, a bit more detail of an answer on that is that the legislation is part of the overall legal strategy, and again, how that directly relates is a closed session topic, and the resolution before you directly impacts legal strategy, and it's important that you have the full scope of the legal strategy, part of which is the legislation and how it impacts and how it would be impacted, our overall strategy, by this resolution. So there's sort of three things going on. There's the legislation. The legislation is part of the legal strategy, and then the resolution that's before you, all of which interact with each other. And again, we wanted to do as much in open session as possible to the extent that this is relevant in open session, and we can talk in closed session about how it's more directly related to the legal strategy and the resolution.
All right. Mr. Peterson, are you not willing to come up, or what's the problem? Supervisor Johnson had a basic question about the bill. I'm assuming, as the principal lobbyist for the county, you're able to answer those questions.
Chairman, supervisors, thank you. Eric Peterson, Government Affairs Liaison for the County Executive. I am happy to answer questions. I think much of the answers that you will want from me relate to our closed session discussion, so I would prefer to defer until such time as we're in closed session.
Okay, but the question immediately before the committee from Supervisor Johnson was about the what role the DNR takes on, whether they become the trustee, I believe.
And I would defer to Bush Nielsen, our technical expert on the bill.
Mr. Nielsen,
when you talk to legislators and they have a question, does Mr. Nielsen provide the answer, or do you provide the answer?
Supervisor, Chairman, and supervisors, I provide many answers to legislators, but again, I think that is best to hear from our technical expert as it relates to the strategy of this legislation and litigation.
I don't think it was a strategy question. It was simply,
Mr. Chairman,
what does the bill say?
Mr. Chairman, my question was related to the fact that the county is the is the trustee of this land at this particular time. The county board is the policy making body of the of Milwaukee County, and if the county board's role, or in as much as this item is before us, if we were to be stripped of being the trustee of that land, I want to know who would be the trustee of this land. That's my question. I would like to know if the county board would have to abdicate all decisions, considering all decisions on that land. I would like to know who is to be the trustee, and in turn, who would make decisions regarding what would happen to this land according to this bill. Thank you.
It's a good question. If I may, my name is Bush Nielsen, and I'll answer it for you. The county is the trustee of lands that were originally ceded to the city of Milwaukee that are lake bed along the shore of Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee. The law that was passed in June declares that by the legislature that everything west of a line that was set by a 1913 agreement and conveyance is not the bed of the lake. So the trustee is not, the county is not the trustee of land lying west of that line based on what the legislature has enacted, which was based on an agreement and conveyance that was signed 100 years ago and which has been in the public records 400 years. Since 1913, every governmental body that has dealt with this property has treated everything west of this line, which is defined as if it were a survey. It really is a survey. As being on the private side. And so the boundary between the lake bed and dry land is this line. The city treated it as such. It entered into the agreement with the railroad. The railroad treated it as such. The county has always treated it as such. In the 1960s, you may be interested to know that the county almost sold the same land to a developer out of Minneapolis. It only did not happen because he couldn't get all of his financing. The state has always treated land west of this 1913 line as being not lake bed. And in 1964, the railroad, on payment of $7 million, conveyed by a deed everything that was west of this line to Milwaukee County. Milwaukee County then conveyed it to the state. If it were lake bed, the county couldn't convey it as if it were dry land. The city then also gave a deed to the county and then to the state of all of its rights in this property that is west of the line. Again, you would not use a deed if it were like that. Later, after the state built freeway south of where the transit center is, it conveyed back the transit center area and other areas that are west of the line to Milwaukee County. It was essentially excess land that had been given to the state to be used for freeway that they didn't use in the end. And that was the last conveyance in the chain of title. That was a deed in 1991. There was a deed from the state to Milwaukee County, recorded in 1991, as you would record any other deed for privately held property. So the county is a trustee as to all land east of this line, which is lake bed, which was filled. The law passed in June and the bill that is currently under consideration do not transfer from one governmental agency or entity to another the authority to act as trustee. They do not do that. They don't transfer that. So Milwaukee County is not being stripped of its powers as the ceded trustee of the lake bed area. What the law declares is that everything west of this line is not like that.
And if I can just clarify, there's a difference between who is the trustee and who actually owns the land. There's nothing in this bill that takes away the ownership of Milwaukee County of the downtown transit center and the decisions regarding the disposition of this site. And so the conversation that was just being had was about things that are held by the county in trust that are lake bed versus what we can own and sell. and that's what this provides clarity on, indicating that west of the 1913 line in the downtown transit center is land that we can sell. The county would still control the decision of that disposition. The bill doesn't change that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Other questions from committee for any of those present at the table? Supervisor Staskunas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It was my understanding that the budget amendment that was passed as part of the budget, the June 2013 legislation or law you refer to, solved this. So why do we need this bill? Why is this bill here today? And what is this bill doing that the budget amendment didn't do? Because, again, at the prior meeting on this, I think we had all been led to believe that the budget amendment kind of solved this issue.
I really don't mean to be coy, and I want to answer that question fully. Some of the answer to that question, at least, does relate to the county's strategy in relation to the ongoing dispute that continues to appear in the newspapers almost daily about whether or not the county does own this land. So I would prefer to answer that in closed session.
Right now.
And Mr. Chair, just I'm fine with closed session. Again, the supervisor Jurczyk and Broderick resolution talks about filing a lawsuit, so I think we're well within our rights to go into closed session, and I think that's what closed session statute anticipates that we would go into closed session for. I guess I'll stop there, and then I don't have any more questions in open session for these folks. I did have one for, well, let me ask this. I've read the bill, and or at least the LRB analysis, and it seems pretty broad. It talks about, specifies that any restrictions or other conditions imposed on the use of land do not apply to the land west of this proposed line. That seems really broad to me. I mean, would that encompass then zoning or use or, you know, landscaping? It doesn't say that it doesn't include that. It says any restrictions.
If I may, the supervisor, the synopsis at the beginning of the bill is not as precise as the bill itself. That removal of restrictions language already appeared in the June law. What it says is that any restriction on use of the property that was created by acts of the legislature that granted lakebed to the city of Milwaukee for the lakeshore area, none of those restrictions apply to the property. They're really two different things, declaring where the boundary line is and then declaring that restrictions that were imposed on the lakebed area do not apply to this property. And that may seem like belt and suspenders and something else on top of it, but that's why that's in there. I think it was that issue of other restrictions was carefully considered, I know, and I thought that the LRB drafter got it right in saying that only those restrictions that would be imposed by these certain acts of the legislature do not apply, but nothing beyond that.
Paragraph 2, beginning on line 14.
Okay. Supervisor Weishun, then Supervisor Schmidt has to come.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can we just go through what the differences are? What was passed in the last state budget, and then what is different in this? In the language, what makes the two things different? I mean, they're both public documents. It has nothing to do with strategy. I'd just like to know what are we seeking on top of the what has already been done?
So, again, some part of that answer relates to the likely issues that would be raised in litigation, if there were litigation about the effectiveness of the June law. So I would prefer to explain that in closed session.
Well, just rather than me having to go get the bill and sit here with a highlighter and say, okay, this is different,
right.
That's all I'd like you to explain, is what paragraphs are different and what's being inserted and what's being changed from what currently exists.
Sure. Well, may I give you a kind of a general answer and then a more specific one later? There are several things that are different. First, the findings about the facts and the history of the lakeshore and the development of our harbor and our park system along the lakeshore are quite a bit more developed, as Supervisor Jerzyk explained. Those findings were not included in the June law, in part because this is a very unusual law, and the drafter at LRB, I'm told, was uncomfortable with including things like that, and partly because there was a very short time, as I explained to this committee in July, between the day that that bill was proposed to be inserted into the budget bill and the day that it was actually inserted. There were only about 4 days in there for drafting. So LRB, there were a bunch of things that could have been included, and LRB said, can't think about it now, highly unusual, not our normal pro forma, rather not included. So that's an important part. Another part is a declaration, not just a declaration by the legislature that the boundary is where it is, or that this declaration serves in lieu of a judgment of a court declaring the boundary line of the property. But beyond that, it declares that this boundary, as established by the city 100 years ago, has been respected by all governmental bodies and private property owners whose property borders on this line for the last 100 years. And there are legal arguments related to that, but it makes those findings by the legislature, which are quite important. There are a couple of other things in the bill that are in addition. However, one of the primary things that is different about this bill is that it is not part of the budget bill, and there are legal issues related to that that I'd like to explain later in closed session.
Okay.
Great.
Reservation.
I guess just if somebody could explain, where does the authority come from for the executive to go and, I guess, lobby and push for something that is a major deviation from what our colony policy is? That's where, as Supervisor Jerzyk pointed out, we said, yes, we want to sell this property. We wanted to take a legal action. That was the presentation that was given to us. Nobody ever said go to Madison and get the law changed. And where does that kind of directive and authority come from?
It's a question for Corporation Council.
Yeah, if they, or anyone else who can answer it.
Chairman and Supervisors, Paul Bargren, Corporation Council. Some of this predates me, of course, but in direct response to your question, Supervisor Weishaupt, my understanding of the resolution that was passed maybe a year ago is, as Supervisor Jerzyk said this morning, the goal was to seek legal certainty. At the time it was passed, that was envisioned as a lawsuit. In the meantime, the legislative option has arisen and been pursued by the administration. Part of the statute that's proposed now before the legislature includes this provision that says these findings of the legislature would have the effect of a judicial decree. Going to court, rather than going to court, going to legislature for what amounts to a judicial finding, okay? So that's one change, and that's one way to get legal certainty. There are some other arguments that I think, again, we would want to talk about in closed session. As far as the administration pursuing this, Act 14 does provide the executive branch with a lobbyist and the ability to go to legislature on behalf of the administration. The county board also has a lobbyist. And the county board can go to the legislature on behalf of the county board with its lobbyist. And the county board, and this has happened now several times in recent months, where the executive has one position on a bill and the county board or representatives through the Intergovernmental Relations Committee have taken an opposite position. So there are two county positions reflected in the legislature, and the legislators are free to choose between those positions.
Well, is there, we publish a list of priorities that we say, okay, we're going to lobby the state on child support, on roads, and all kinds of other stuff, and we put that as our agenda in front of the Intergovernmental Relations Committee. Where is it published or anything to tell us what the county executive's agenda is?
As a point of information, but without getting into the administration's position, I'll tell you that there is the Government Accountability Board's lobbying scoreboard that's online, and anybody who wants to lobby a position posts their positions on that scoreboard. It's open to the public, and I believe that the administration's lobbyist has been on that board as well as the county board's lobbyist.
And one just last comment on this. When we had the meeting and the presentation from the outside legal counsel, and I feel that we were sandbagged on this whole thing, and now we're splitting hairs. It was discussed ad nauseum about we did not want to go and do something that was out of the norm and all this kind of stuff. That they made, actually, the attorney made an excellent presentation, and that's what convinced me that we had a strong legal case to go forward. And to then find out, kind of, you know, through the grapevine, that they're now splitting hairs on legal certainty as a definition to go and take some kind of legislative action, I find just very disappointing, because that is not anywhere near the intent of what the board had approved or wanted to go forward with. We want to sell this property, we want to develop it, but we wanted to stay out of the muck and the mire of Madison, and that we were supposed to do things in a professional and honorable way. So that's all I have to say on it, I guess, so far. I don't see him.
One moment. Supervisor Schmidt, I believe Supervisor Jersic has a comment related to Corporation Counsel. Is yours? Can yours wait a moment? Is it a follow-up on that? Very good. You'll be next. If you want to come up to the table, you may.
I would just like to complete this entire discussion about legal counsel and the proper activity of both Corporation Counsel, any outside counsel that we hire to represent us with regard to the Transit Center, which, as I understand it, when we have outside counsel, Corporation Counsel is to direct outside counsel. Now, when the chairwoman did the original compromise, as chair of ECD, I sat down with Bushnell Nielsen, along with Mark Rady and Kimberly Walker at the time. I agree with Mr. Bargan that he was not here when this initial thing started. My first question to Attorney Bushnell Nielsen, because of the sensitivity of the compromise that was worked out by the chairwoman, who I think did a good job of trying to bring all the desperate issues in and really get a position of the county, which went through county board vote, went through vetoes, et cetera, the position of the county. And my first question to Bushnell Nielsen is, who's your client? He correctly answered, the county is my client. And I said to him, that's the correct answer. Then I said to him, what is the position of your client with regard to the transit center? To my amazement, Bushnell Nielsen had never been given a copy of the resolution that defined, after a vote of the board and the override veto of the county exec, and then the final resolution 18-0. I mean, I don't believe there was a veto. The position of the client is spelled out in the resolution. So we had that resolved. I actually brought up a certified copy from the clerk's office to give Bushnell Nielsen. So we had that position clarified, and we were supposed to get monthly reports on the transit center. Never, never were we advised that our attorney changed hats from being our legal counselor to becoming a lobbyist. That was always done strictly through apparently corporation counsel directing him, who apparently was acting on the directions of the county executive, which, by the way, I think violates the requirement that an attorney communicate with the client. The county being the client with a clear resolution delineating what he was to do. I continue to be very irritated about that, but I don't want to get into the irritation. I really do want to move forward. I'm going to point out to you the response that was just given to you by Bushnell Nielsen, and I listened very carefully. His response is based on the premise that you accept what the legislature did originally during the budget bill. And once you accept that premise, then he follows with the legal opinion he gave you. It's a circular argument that never actually gets to the issues that have to be straightened out by a true fact finder, which is the third branch of government. So if you're going to accept the opinion he just gave you, it presupposes that you accept the premise that what the legislature did was the proper way to do that fact finding. And I'm going to beg you, don't get into those circular arguments. They take you down the wrong path. And quite frankly, these very smart people that we've hired miss the forest for the trees, because this is eventually going to end up in the courts. And it's going to end up in the courts in a much bigger issue. It's going to end up in the courts under constitutional issues, maybe even in the federal courts, when we're really trying to talk about a very specific transit site with regard to a local court giving us an opinion on clear title. That is the most straightforward way to do this. And I think our attorneys are on a very slippery slope here when they start taking the hat off of attorney representing the county as a client and then become the lobbyist for the county executive, who's supposed to be carrying out policy directed by this board. So I just want to point that out to you. If you're going to accept those opinions, it's a circular argument. Thank you.
Supervisor Schmidt.
I certainly agree a lot with what's been talked about. I guess I have a comment and then a question, see if it can be done in open session. I think we should try to do as much as an open session. Is that, you know, anybody that wants to help us, you know, I'm not against help. I don't think any of us are. I'm a little wary. I mean, maybe it all has been closed session, some of the explanations of how far this bill goes. The track record of the county executive working for our benefit, for the legislative branch, and now he wants to give, in this idea, so much power to the legislative branch in the state. I'm just a little skeptical, I guess, and wary of that. I wonder what the repercussions are, how much farther besides the transit center this bill really goes when we unearth it. So, you know, I want to try to be open-minded like all of us do, and can this help our case here? But my frustrations have gone overboard, too, maybe like all of us. I do remember that meeting, you know, over a year ago, our legal people said, you know, we have a great case. There's a couple comments. I remember speaking at that meeting, and my comment was, well, if we have a good legal case, let's get it to court and let's get this done. I thought it was dragging on already. Here we are a year later, really 2 years later. And they said, well, let's talk to preserve our parks, who's here today, and everyone knows is going to litigate until they get an answer. They don't believe anything we've said so far. They're not going to accept what the legislature does. Okay, so we're going to have a court case. I thought it was clear at that time that, yes, we have to go to court to answer these questions. And what title company is going to take any kind of risk? How can Mr. Barrett, you know, fundraise and do all the things he has to do yet unless this question is answered? And who can answer this question? Well, that's what we have a third branch for. I've been very upset from the beginning on many of these processes because I think the checks and balances have been, I hope not irreparably harmed by what's happened in the state legislature doing to us. I'm not talking about salaries and terms either. I'm talking about what's happened to our staff and our loss of $2 million, but none of that seems to count. You know, but we need, as the people's representative, to get to the bottom of this. And I think I know something about checks and balances. The third branch of government makes these final decisions. Now, it'd be interesting maybe to hear in closed session how a legislative branch can do this. But my strong feeling, certainly be based on some logic and some knowledge here, is that this question will be a constitutional question, and it can only be answered by the court. I mean, we were told that over a year ago, for crying out loud. And so my question is, if it can be answered in open session, is that with the advice we got was wrong before, that it doesn't have to come to a court decision. The situation being that no matter what the legislature would say, no matter what we would say, no matter even, you know, if we get a court opinion, it seems that Preserver Parks has dug in their heels, and they're gonna litigate. They're going to challenge. They feel they have some standing. We should have been in court a year ago. To think this is dragged on, it's unbelievable. And you know, the county board, it's interesting that, you know, one of the big things the legislature was, well, you know, they can't make decisions. There's no move in economic development. They're going bankrupt. And we're the ones who have been the leaders in this area from the very beginning. We've been stonewalled. For what reason, I'm not so sure. So I'm saying no matter what happens to state legislature, if they can answer this in open session, we're going to go to court anyway. I mean, there's going to be, you know, Preserver Parks is not going to stop. So that's the question I have. So we get, you know, another piece of information to help us, okay, from the state legislature, but won't have to go to the court anyway. And that's my question. Thank you for the time.
Mr. Bargan, is there an answer available on that, or is that a strategy question?
Well, I think I could say a couple things probably in open session. One is that circumstances changed from the time, to some extent, from the time that this resolution was passed. And the resolution directs county to take any actions as may be appropriate and necessary to assure the insurance of a title insurance policy. I think at that time, apparently, it was discussed in terms of litigation. But some things changed, and I think that we can give a better view of those during a closed session. Essentially, the goal is still to obtain title insurance policy and to have a defensible legal position. Those things will be stronger with the passage of this proposed bill.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Broder.
I'm having, the problem keeps getting deeper here. It seems to me the central questions here that have been raised by Preserve Our Parks and their research go to the Northwest Territories Act and the Wisconsin Constitution. Thus far, I'm all for development, but thus far, what's occurred is that the state legislature, in an attempt to circumvent the need to go to court, has acted by way of a budget amendment on a constitutional issue. And even that failed to the point where now it's necessary to have yet another legislative remedy on top of the one that's already inadequately been offered. To further attempt, all this is going to do is ensure the fact that this will drag on in court for 2 years. Rather than getting a clean, simple answer up front, the very authors of this strategy, because that's what this is, this bill, are simply defeating their own purpose by obfuscating the issue further. Supervisor Schmidt just said it. It's going to be decided in court. It can be decided sooner, or it can be decided later. For those who favor development, later is a very bad idea in the face of rising interest rates and all the rest of it. So the sooner we get to court and the sooner we get an answer, the sooner someone will underwrite this project, which isn't going to happen until we get a court answer based on what I understand of the circumstance. So talk about circular. I mean, this is becoming an absurdity. The third branch of government can and will answer these questions if we ask them to.
And if we fail to do that, we're going to keep chasing our tail in this argument for the foreseeable future. And in doing that, no development's going to take place. So, cute by half. All these clever solutions are really obfuscating the underlying issues that are constitutional and essentially go to territorial law. So we can continue to chase our tails, and we can argue this all morning. I don't see, because no legislation has been filed, any basis for going in to closed session. And I will vote against closed session, because the public needs to have the opportunity to look at this information and make their own judgment about the validity of the arguments that are being made. And to hide that from the press, to keep it under wraps, may be a clever strategy and may enable people to continue offering those clever strategies, but it's not going to solve the problem.
Okay. We're going to take a comment from the public. We've got two cards. First, William Lynch, followed by Charlie Camps.
Good morning. I appreciate this opportunity to address this committee on the matters that have both been part of the agenda and the subsequent discussion of other possibilities. I'm appearing here on behalf of Preserve Our Parks. I'm on the board of Preserve Our Parks and have been for years. You know, it's just very saddening to me to hear this discussion going on today when we have such an opportunity in this community to have very high quality public space in the lakefront area and very extensive and much needed private commercial development that in the long run will make our almost unique lakefront in any circumstance. Nowhere else do you have a downtown lakefront with the quality and the openness and the access and the public use like we do in Milwaukee. It's such an opportunity. And it's an opportunity that is now, whether it will be the same 2 years from now or a year from now, is really, I think it's, we're at a really fragile point in terms of being able to make maximum, provide maximum benefit for the public's use in that area and for private use and development. And this whole matter of who filled lake bed and when, according to maps, which is a fairly simple factual issue to determine, has turned into a huge complex of legal issues going in six different directions at once. And the tendency seems to be to make it even more complicated and more complex to resolve. Preserve Our Parks is an organization that has a mission of interest in preserving and enhancing the public's use and availability of public space in our parklands. The county has a strong interest in a long history of preserving and protecting the public's rights to public spaces and making sure that we all get a fair shake at access to our downtown lakefront, even if we don't live in the high rises up on the bluff. So it seems to me we've got a lot of commonality of interest here. And we've got a real small matter to determine who filled lake bed, who put where, and how does that impact the division of one piece of property that's now before you, the transit center, where, you know, the dispute is over, you know, Preserve Our Parks agrees that at least a third of that site is subject to sale and disposition because it wasn't, it isn't filled lake bed land, and, you know, the county wants to sell off and develop the whole piece, and somewhere there's a line in between there. And why can't we just get together and talk about what's a reasonable result in terms of drawing the line on where the public's right to development and the right of private development have a border? You know, it's a pretty simple situation when you look at it that way. Why is it important for Preserve Our Parks and others to assert the public's right to public control and development in the lakefront. It's part of why we have the lakefront we do. If we didn't have this constitutional protection of the public's rights to access and use and enjoyment of our lakefront, we probably wouldn't have this beautiful lakefront. A lot of it would have been sold off for private development, and it wouldn't be the gem that it is. So there's an interest in continuing to have the county as trustee on behalf of the public's right to public access to the land continue. The county has done a very good job of being a trustee in this regard. And I'd hate to see the county's role be diverted off to the state or to the state legislature or to some other body, because it's this body, this elected body, that knows what the interests and needs are and can really pull everybody together to have an improved lakefront that benefits us all. So I urge, I've heard a lot about legal certainty. Preserve Our Parks wants legal certainty too here. You know, this has been bouncing around for us for a year and a half too without any clear resolution. Why can't we just get this worked out in a forum that is set up and designed to resolve factual disputes and how the facts apply to the law, a court, and not continue to make the prospects for getting this fairly simple factual matters straightened out more and more complex, more and more difficult, and take a lot longer to resolve. So basically, Preserve Our Parks supports the resolution before you to go ahead with litigation. We aren't going to get a court judgment if nobody goes to court. And we can't go to court because you haven't done anything for us to challenge yet. Okay. All you've done is start negotiations over a possible disposition of a piece of your property. Well, how does that take away the rights of the public to under the public trust when you haven't even made any agreement with Mr. Barrett that we can go to court to say we have a say in how that comes out? You don't even have a plan for us to challenge. So we're kind of stuck also with not being able to get legal certainty. I think the community is really suffering and can suffer even more if that legal uncertainty just keeps being extended and goes longer and longer, and it gets more and more complicated, more and more costly and difficult to litigate. And Rick Barrett's a nice guy. We've met with him frequently. We've been talking to him about plans and what needs to be done. We just need to figure out how to devote the public space to public uses and the private space to private development and get going on improving our downtown lakefront. That's what I'm sorry. I've
got a question for you, Supervisor Borkowski.
Attorney Lynch, talk about opportunities. I've been on this board a long time. Has there been any development that Preserve Our Parks has been in support of at the lakefront?
Well, we're in support of the development of the downtown transit center in the portion of it that's available for public development, because we see the development in adjacent areas as important to access and use and enjoyment of the park areas. We're not against development. We're not against development here. You know, the beer gardens, you know, we said that's fine. We can have beer gardens in the parks. We've had lots of other instances where the question of whether a property should be developed or not has been reviewed by us, and we say, sure, go ahead. It's public use and enjoyment amenities, you know, are something that we support all the time to improve the parks and improve the public spaces.
With all due respect, Attorney Lynch, you speak a very, very good game, but the actions of Preserve Our Parks throughout the course of its history has shown otherwise. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. wasn't a question, but if you wish to comment, you may.
This is one of those.
I understand. I prefer to stay away from it if we can.
Say nothing more.
Did you have any other comment? Otherwise, Charlie Camps, Mr. Camps, you're registered speaking in.
Well, let me also say that my appearance here on behalf of Preserve Our Parks does not indicate any position that we would have one way or another on the legislation that has not been yet formally introduced. And was not, you know, we aren't prepared to respond to all of the questions that have been raised about the scope of that legislation, whether it has one impact or another, how it will affect the entire lakefront and all development of the land. So we just haven't had a chance to weigh in on that, and we hope that there will be a forum where that can happen in the future. I don't think the state legislature in Madison is going to be a good way for the factual disputes and the legal concerns to be litigated by Preserve Our Parks or by anyone else. You know, Preserve Our Parks doesn't have the authority to... The state constitution doesn't grant a right to Preserve Our Parks. It grants rights to all of the public, whether they're residents of this state or everyone who is a beneficiary of the public trust. So everyone and anyone can also challenge how this matter is handled. We are not in control of that. We also don't have, but if there were litigation that we were participating in, we could take a position in that litigation. We might well be able to reach agreement with the county about how that litigation should be resolved, and that litigation could be settled in a way that would result in a judgment about the facts and the law as it applies to the transit center site or whatever the scope of it is. So we also see institution of litigation as a way for us to get talking with each other about how to resolve this without going all the way to through the process. We have approached the county executive's office about holding discussions about how can we resolve this matter, and the response was that the county executive was not interested in talking to us. That's about a couple months ago. We made a presentation to Economic Development, one of the committees, indicating that Preserve Our Parks is interested in figuring out a way to resolve this without having it go to the U.S. Supreme Court or wherever it needs to go to. So I just want to have that on the...
All right. Thank you. Mr. Camp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisors, I practiced law for many years, and as part of that, in my past life, I one time served as a legislative consultant, which was a fancy word for a lobbyist. And I worked with lobbyists in Madison, and I learned that you can say anything to a legislator. You're not under oath. And your experts that you come in to talk to the legislators are not under oath. And all kinds of things get said there. Now, State Representative Sanfilippo was speaking in support of his draft bill, which he's trying to get sponsors for, which is the one that we've been talking about here today, said that the claims of Preserve Our Parks are frivolous. That's the thing that courts can handle beautifully. Courts do very well with frivolous claims. They get rid of them very, very quickly. Now, in February, I have this resolution in front of me that has been referred to several times here today, but whereas talked about the desire or said the necessary to obtain legal certainty concerning Milwaukee County's legal right to develop the property as intended. And be it resolved that the Office of Corporation Counsel is authorized and directed to amend the legal services contract with Reinhardt Werner Van Duren, SC, for an additional amount of $100,000 and a total contract amount not to exceed $140,000, with hourly rates not to exceed $335 per hour to represent Milwaukee County in litigation to declare rights in the property. To represent Milwaukee County in litigation. And now I guess you're looking at $190,000. With that kind of money, you'd be in court, you'd get a judgment, you'd get something a title insurance company can rely on. And now, if you pass this resolution, you can go forward on that path. If you don't adopt this resolution or something just like it, lawyers are going to have a field day trying to make law on all different legal theories in all different forums. There's a myriad of challenges out there posed by this draft bill, many of them federal issues. At my age, I'd like to see this matter resolved, win or lose. I'd like to see this matter resolved in my lifetime. At the rate you're going, it's not going to happen. But you can get to court, get witnesses or be under oath. Maybe Bush Nielsen would be a witness. Under oath, I think you might get something reliable. There are many misstatements in the proposed legislative findings of fact. The legislature is not organized to determine facts. Courts do that. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Camps. Attorney Barger?
I have to take exception with a witness who implies that lawyers working for the county or lobbyists working for the county are not telling the truth. I want to go on record that I think they're telling the truth, and I object to that.
Okay, so noted. Do we have anything more for open session, Mr. Whaley-Smith?
Thank you, Chair and Supervisors. Our intent today was to talk about legal strategy in closed session. This is, the Judiciary Committee to do that. The comments that were just made by Preserve Our Parks continue to be used as any forum that they can get to attack the county's title and interest to do this. And I think it's important that a couple things get included in that conversation for the public that is working on or looking at this at home, the legislature that's trying to do this, and otherwise. Supervisor Jurczyk mentioned, and I mentioned in our testimony, a 2011 resolution by this board adopting the Lakefront Gateway Plan. There was an opportunity to negotiate what was public space and private space with all parties at the table. Bill Lynch signed that document, and that document indicates that the Downtown Transit Center should be developed as a high-value site. Despite that plan that was approved by this group, Preserve Our Parks has taken the position that they are going to continue to try to frustrate that purpose that was approved by this board and approved by the larger public. There were also comments that somehow this is going to impact larger open space areas and access. Please recall that the Downtown Transit Center plans improves the access to the lakefront. It does not frustrate it. There's a whole Lakefront Gateway plan that has also gone through a public process. There was another public hearing last night, and that access is improved because currently we all have to try to get across Lincoln Memorial Drive. This plan includes access over that. The final comment is in Bill Lynch's comments about somehow Preserve Our Parks is the appropriate group to negotiate with about this particular circumstance. Supervisor Jurczyk has also suggested that that's the appropriate group to negotiate with about where the line should be. I vehemently disagree with this position. The appropriate group to clarify the line and the agreement that was struck over 100 years ago is the group that has the statutory authority to do so, the group elected by the people, which is the state of Wisconsin. The fact is the legislature does have the right to do this. The issue about the boundaries created by acts of the legislature, which granted title along the shore to both the railroad and the city, the June law and the current law modify and clarify the state's prior grants. Only the legislature can do that. Court can only interpret what legislatures have already done. And so if this is going to be continued to use as a forum by Preserve Our Parks to attack our title and interest, we also want to put in the public sphere that absolutely the legislature has the right to do this. They're the ones that did it in 1913 to exchange a very small portion of land for our right to accrete to over 200 acres that is Lake Park. And this agreement has been in place for 100 years. It was part of the Lakefront Plan, signed by Bill Lynch and others, as an agreement to move forward. And that is not being taken seriously, and there continues to be public statements attacking our title, which is not in the best position of the county. And the legislature has acted all the way back to 1913 and will continue to act to clarify this. And we're happy to talk about how that impacts our litigation strategy. But please understand our hesitation. Preserve Our Parks can get up here and say anything that they want. And when we talk about strategy in public, they then adapt their strategy to further frustrate the county's position. So with that, I'm more than happy to go into further details in closed session.
Okay. Supervisor Whiteson.
I would object to you calling it your legal strategy. The fact is it's a lobbying strategy. The fact is if you had a legal strategy, we would be, you know, talking about what we're going to do in front of a judge, not before what we're going to do in front of the state legislature. And in fact, I think as the resolution that was read aloud by Mr. Lynch goes to our legal counsel representing us in litigation and not in lobbying activities in Madison. And so I clearly see that as, you know, a violation of what the county board has authorized for payment. We hired a lawyer to go to court, not to lobby. And in fact, if you wanted to lobby, we have different budgets and different committees that you're supposed to be in front of to deal with those issues. So I, like I said, I would say I vehemently oppose the terminology of saying that you're discussing legal strategy, because we wouldn't be talking to the people in Madison if we had a solid legal strategy to begin with. We wouldn't have to seek a law change. We would be standing in front of a judge getting a declaration saying this is why. The fact is you're trying to create this ridiculous argument that we're going to change the rules so then we can go in front of a judge and say, see, we're applying with the rules. So, you know, this is a lobbying effort by the county executive, because I guess somewhere down the path you guys realized that your legal strategy was not as solid as you originally thought, and that instead of recognizing that flaw and coming back before the committee, you decided to, you know, hide that and go forward. So I really don't see any need to discuss a so-called strategy, because that's legal strategy, because we're not talking about legal strategy. They want money to go to Madison to lobby on a bill, and I suggest that you schedule that for the IGR committee. And so I would hope that we would move forward and vote on the amendment and the resolution before us. Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, this statement will be very, very short. Director Whaley Smith spoke of what happened in 1913 by the state legislature. We have a highly politicized political legislature that I believe represents, or at least looks towards, representing moneyed interests. And I wanted to say that, because I don't know what was going on, what was the atmosphere, the culture, environment in 1913, but I am well aware of what's happening for us now. So as it relates to determining legal certainty or legal strategy, given where we are, this is something to be determined, but I just wanted to react to what I heard him say. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very short statement.
Let's vote.
Item 8 is also related. Is there any interest by members in a closed session?
Chairman, I'm sorry if I may. Just to direct Supervisor Wyshon's comments, if it's the desire of the board
to have, you know, make this part of the larger conversation of who has lobbying powers, who doesn't, and et cetera, et cetera, you're certainly entitled to go that direction. Our interest is getting the Downtown Transit Center completed. We do need the opportunity to update you on legal strategy. That's the point of closed session, is when there's threatened litigation. There is a member of the public in the room who has made public comments reported in the paper that they're threatening litigation. And I would hope we would be afforded the opportunity in closed session to update you on the strategy in protecting the county from those pending legal claims so that you can make an informed decision about how you're going to do that and how you're not going to do that. You know, maybe prior to making very broad public statements that the county does not have right to the title or that we have a weak legal strategy, please give us the opportunity to update you on that current legal strategy so you can understand how the lobbying is related to that.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to talk about the closed session issue. To add to what Mr. Whaley-Smith just said, the item before you for which you would be going into closed session, or actually two items, but the first one is a resolution to direct litigation. Our intent in going into closed session and requesting closed session is to give you legal advice on the strengths and weaknesses of adopting that resolution. Why there are good things about that, why there are bad things about that, and whether that's a good or bad thing towards the end result of development of this parcel per the county board's prior resolutions. And so if you don't want that advice, that legal advice about strategy, that's your prerogative. But it's our request that you go into closed session so that you can hear that advice.
Just, Mr. Chair, I suppose we ought to talk about it now before we have a motion and a vote. In one of our last closed sessions, we had a closed session also about, well, it was a closed session. And then some members chose to disclose what we talked about in closed session to the press and to the public. And so I guess before I go into closed session today, I want to know that it's going to be a real closed session and that even if a member votes no and doesn't want to go into closed session and they stay in the room and they participate and they listen to all of the confidential legal advice that we're given, that it will remain as part of a closed session. And so I'm going to want to know that. Otherwise, why? And it's not worth it to go into closed session.
I believe there should be no confusion about procedure under closed session. That those I understand. I'm just saying there should be no confusion about protocol under closed session and keeping information obtained in closed session in confidence. The part of the effort today was to make sure that as much as we could get out in open session, because I understand sometimes when all the discussion occurs in closed session, there is a distinction of which of those items are really public and can be discussed versus those that are truly of a confidential nature. So I hope that that's our understanding. Supervisor Broderick, and then
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the issues that we were discussing in closed session that's being referred to, there were questions being raised at the time as to whether or not we needed to go into closed session, whether that was an appropriate thing to do, whether it was an act to deprive the public of the information they needed to make informed judgments. And ultimately, I think what we discussed in closed session could have as easily been discussed in open session without negative consequence. So when revelations were made, or when we talked about it may not have been appropriate, but the fact is that it may not have been appropriate to go into closed session in the first place.
All right. Well, with respect to legal strategy, I would hope that no one would discuss items if we receive items in closed session on legal strategy, I hope that those would not be discussed outside of here. I think we've made every attempt to get all the public information out in open session. I hope that would be our understanding. Supervisor Weishan.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're all open to hearing whatever legal strategy that our core counsel office has. And in fact, I don't think you need to be Einstein to figure out there's only a couple ways for Milwaukee County to handle this. So whether we're in closed session or open session, believe me, there's plenty of people who can figure out what you've all planned. And so I think that this notion of closed session is just about as, you know, ridiculous as it gets. And it's just a way to give people this false sense, especially since I've been here on the administration's level, that they can basically lie to us, get us to approve things, and then they can do the opposite, you know, once things are out there. And then when we say, well, wait a minute, that's not what you told us in closed session. There's no record of it or anything. And this goes back, you know, 14 years that I've been here, that, you know, I don't like going into closed session because there's nobody swearing on a stack of Bibles that they're going to tell us the truth. And these are the same people who gave us a presentation that said they had a great legal foundation to go forward. And the next thing you know, we're not standing in front of a judge. They're standing in front of the state legislature trying to get a bill passed. And now they're calling lobbying services legal services. I never authorized anybody to go to Madison and lobby for anything. I authorized to pay the legal bills for the legal work that needed to be done. And I think, you know, if there's anybody who's been dishonest in this whole thing or, you know, has bent the rules, it's the administration from the beginning. And as it was read, we authorized to pay people for litigation, not for lobbying services. And if you want to pay for lobbying services, that's fine. Make that the resolution in front of us. Don't try and warp it and say that somehow you're conducting some kind of legal service for us when you're not.
Supervisor Jersey.
Well, I would point out, first of all, I have honored and will honor closed sessions. I chose my words very carefully today because I could have said a lot more than I said based on some of the closed sessions we've had. But everything we've talked about has been in resolutions and proposals before this board or has been issues or comments or discussions that were never in closed session that I have a right to disclose. First of all, I want to say that Teague Whaley Smith, who I have great respect for, however, on this particular issue, I do believe he strongly represents the county executive. He is part of the executive branch. First of all, he's misstated my comments. At no time have I represented Preserve Our Parks. I represent, as do you, the public. And I think we have been respectful about the public's interest in the transit center site from day one. We put it in our original resolution, which is the position of the county. The problem with corp counsel, and I have stated this to them, and I choose my words carefully, they have not been forthright with this board. They have a conflict of interest for that reason. They have failed to communicate with us. They have failed to communicate with us that they were directing legal counsel to begin lobbying when we, in fact, paid for litigation services and hired outside counsel who's an expert on the public trust issue to represent the county. And then all of a sudden someone changed their hat and became a lobbyist on behalf of the county executives. That's a failure to advise us. And that's, in my opinion, a violation of the attorney oath when they have an obligation to the client. The certified copy of the resolution that I gave Bushnell Nielsen in our first meeting established what his duties were to the client, and they have not been forthright. So how do we go in closed session with that conflict of interest and have them advise us? It's a problem for us. But I think the easiest thing to do without, and I don't want to create a big brouhaha here, I'm more than willing to let Corporation Counsel go into circuit court and represent us on a clear action. But to suggest that we're going to go into closed session and be unable to determine when we're being told a strategy of the county executive with regard to lobbying or when we're hearing representation with regard to our original position in which we stated in our original compromise that we are going to be good representatives of the public trust issue as it relates to the transit center. I think Corp Counsel has a conflict there, and I don't know the purpose of going in closed session when you have an attorney that's advising you with a known conflict. So I would again suggest, let's just vote on this. The whole legal strategy piece, we can discuss that once we've filed. Then we can go and discuss legal strategy as we move through our clear title action. So I just point that out. I think you have a problem going in closed session either way. Thank you.
Attorney Bargren. Sorry.
I can say in open session that I think we would prefer to continue to take our direction from the resolution of February 13 and oppose the proposal before the board.
We asked them to go to court and they didn't.
That's what I'd like to. That's what we'd like to
get the authorization for the first 100 grand.
All right. Is there an interest by members in a closed session to hear from corporation counsel and outside counsel on the arguments, strategy, and reasons for that position?
Okay. Supervisor Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to go into closed session. I know that there a lot of issues have been discussed in open session, but on the other hand, as I said earlier, although in order for us to get to this legal certainty, we have to go to court. It wasn't done months ago. It needs to happen, and I think that we should deliberate, our strategy in closed session so that we can just go forward. I don't want everything to be put on the table at this particular time. We have a politicized atmosphere, as far as I'm concerned, with respect to the legislature and what it's been doing as it relates to this particular matter. So I would prefer to go into closed session. That's just my attitude.
Would you, we have item 8 read as well, and open to the motion applying to both items.
That's fine with me. I would move to go into the. Okay. At some point, I'm going to move into go into closed session.
Got it. Thank you, Attorney Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to belabor this, but I feel an obligation to say something. Supervisor Jurczyk's comments have directly, I think, attacked my personal integrity, and I don't want to get into a debate. I just want to say for the record that I disagree that our office has a conflict of interest in this matter. I disagree that our office has done anything that's unethical, and I personally have not done anything unethical. Obviously, that's the client's call. In a normal situation, the client feels their attorney's been unethical, they discharge them. You know, in this situation, all I can say for the record, all I want to say for the record is I just vehemently disagree with those statements. I wish we didn't have that kind of accusation being made, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Let's read item 8.
Item 8, from Corporation Counsel submitting an informational report pertaining to a contract amendment in the amount of $50,000 for a total contract sum of $190,000 with Reinhardt Werner Van Duren SC for legal representation of Milwaukee County related to the Downtown Transit Center and the potential Couture development. This item is also considered by the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit and is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, although this motion may be defeated, I move to go into closed session to discuss legal strategy related to the resolution before us. Inasmuch as months ago we passed something similarly and similar content, and it did not happen. So I move to go into closed session.
The motion is for closed session on items 7 and 8. As noticed under section 19.851G for the purpose of receiving advice of legal counsel. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On item 8, I guess if people are going to be asking for more money for this, c- could we see an itemized legal bill to see what they've spent the first $100,000 on before we go ahead and authorize any more funding?
Attorney Grady.
Mr. Chairman, we can certainly supply past invoices. They are obviously the county board. Milwaukee County is the client, but they would be supplied under the assumption they maintain privilege as a privilege communication to the body, not for the public. But if that's the request of the committee, we can certainly provide those. Or just if the individual supervisor wants them, we can do them individually. So
I'd be interested.
Okay. At least two members are interested, so if you would supply that, please. Supervisor Stiskunas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is really a mess, and while I think it's appropriate to go into closed session, I mean, we are talking about legal strategy. I'm going to vote no. Number one, I don't think it's going to change anybody's mind on this committee about how we're voting. And number two, I didn't get the assurances from the committee members that they will respect the privacy of closed session, and therefore, you know, I just really believe we'll be reading in the newspaper tomorrow what was discussed here in closed session. And so it sort of undercuts the whole reason to go into a closed session to discuss the legal strategy. So even though I really think it would be appropriate to go, I can't support it at this point because that's just really not going to accomplish anything.
No other comments. The motion is for a closed session on items 7 and 8.
Supervisors Borkowski.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
No.
Broderick.
No.
Rainey.
No.
Stiskunas.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
There are 2 ayes, 5 noes. The motion to go into closed session fails.
Motion before us is adoption of Amendment 1 to Item 7. Any questions or comments on Amendment 1, changing the date of deadline from March 15th, 2014 to March 21st, 2014? Seeing no question on the amendment, which has been distributed, the motion was for adoption by Supervisor Broderick. On the motion for adoption.
Supervisors Borkowski.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Stiskunas.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
There are 5 ayes, 2 noes. The amendment prevails.
Supervisor Broderick moves adoption of Item 7 as amended. Further questions or comments on Item 7? Wow. All right. Motion is for adoption. On adoption.
Supervisors Borkowski.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Stiskunas.
No.
Mr. Chair.
No.
There are 4 ayes, 3 noes. The motion to adopt as amended prevails.
Item 8 has been read into the record already. Mr. Bargan, are you able to? Mr. Grady's out of the room.
This is essentially the request to Chairman Supervisors, this is essentially the request to add to the contract to, I guess, cover the litigation we were just directed to bring.
Anything further? Or Supervisor Stiskunas?
I'm just wondering if it's appropriate to hang on to this for a little bit since we've got the request for the itemized statement. You know, and pending receipt of that statement.
So item 7 had no had no appropriation attached to it. So this item is connected but separate. Mr. Grady, could you explain that a bit?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple comments. First of all, the amount previously authorized by the county board of $140,000 has been expended. So item 7, the fiscal note to item 7, I discussed with Mr. Cady when he was drafting it for Supervisor Jurczyk. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it effectively said that the fees for legal services to implement the resolution in item 7 would be coming from this contract amendment, which is a separate item, which has to be acted on by Finance Committee, or it's to Finance Committee for passive review, I should say. So my point is, without either item 8 being adopted or a separate resolution being adopted, we can't implement the resolution in item 7.
I'm sorry, I do now note it is informational only, but it will be in front of Finance Committee under the passive review process. Supervisor Weisheim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do believe we have a litigation reserve in Corp Counsel's office that could clearly take the money out of there. We haven't asked for other times when we've gone to court for different issues that we expressly designate sort of like what pot of money, and that somehow it would stop us from going forward with some kind of litigation. We've authorized the litigation. There is funding throughout Milwaukee County in different areas that could accomplish what we'd like to do. Second is that, what assurances that do we have that this is actually for legal services versus lobbying services? That's my problem with this whole thing, is that I don't want to pay to send an attorney to Madison to go talk about a piece of legislation. I want to pay the legal fees an attorney to, you know, represent us in the court action. So how do we get that distinction? See, they've been blurring the lines of lobbying and legal services through this whole process.
Attorney Grady.
I'd like to answer the first question and then let Mr. Bargan and or Mr. Nielsen answer the second one. The first question is, and I'll be more precise, the county executive has signed a contract amendment with this law firm to increase the funding from the litigation reserve by $50,000. Under Act 14, that amendment has been presented to the Finance Committee to take action on within 14 days, which their next meeting. If the Finance Committee takes no action, that amendment becomes effective. It will happen. If the Finance Committee votes to reject it, then it goes to the County Board for a final vote within 30 days after that vote. So that's the way this Act 14 process works for contracts between $100,000 and $300,000. If the County Executive signs it, a contract amendment, not just this one, but any contract amendment that is in a value between $100,000 and $300,000 and presents it to the County Board, the Finance Committee has 14 days to act to stop it or approve it if it wants to. In the absence of action by the Finance Committee, it then becomes legally effective. And so this amendment is in front of Finance for them to take whatever action they want to take at their meeting next week. And the money is coming from litigation reserve. That's where it's coming from, the same place as the prior monies are coming from. And so it is designated from the 2014 litigation reserve. As to the distinction in services, I'll let them address that.
I'll speak to that, but does it come from the litigation contingency? There was a time, basically before I got here, when Mr. Nielsen was in fact a registered lobbyist. He is not now, and he understands that his duties are legal, not lobbying, and understands that and agrees with it. Lobbying on this issue is being done by Mr. Peterson. And our office doesn't lobby.
Nielsen, come to the table.
Sure.
I would just like to respond to this resolution and a little bit as to the last one. This is as to the attorney's fees spent by our firm. Mr. Lynch got up here and told you that it would be a very simple issue for a court to decide where the natural shore of Lake Michigan was in some date, not known. That might be on the date of statehood, 1848. It might be on the date on which the government surveyor prepared his survey, 1835. Might be on a later date. What we know for sure about this shoreline is that there is nothing natural about it. And there has been nothing natural about it since about 1820. And in fact, we know that Solomon Juneau took hand trucks and filled marsh in all of the Third Ward. The Grain Exchange building was called Duck Island. Everything around it was water. Roughly where the produce market was another island. Everything around it was water. Everything in the Seventh Ward was water, other than Walker's Point, which was called Point because it was the only part in all of that area that Walker, who got a patent for it, could put up a house. The shoreline in the immediate vicinity of the transit center, as a natural shore, is not known by me. I have the money that we're talking about now that our firm has spent. A large part of that went to collect information from places like the State Historical Society, the Public Library Archive Section, which has old city records, the county's current records, the city's current records, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Harbor Commission, the Register of Deeds, the Chicago Northwestern Archives in Illinois, the Clerk of Courts. We investigated a number of old lawsuits which had maps and surveys in them, the Commissioners of Public Lands in Madison, the one place the POP has gone, many cases about the title to property in this vicinity, some of which had maps attached to them. We found a whole bunch of lawsuits that were about the shoreline of Milwaukee, had to read them, and then go to the further sources. I have bought numerous books, which I buy with my own dollars and I read on my own time. This one arrived yesterday, Maritime Milwaukee. It says lots of pictures of the exact shoreline that we're talking about from various stages. Here's what I know. Our bills break down like this. We spent about $38,000 researching the title and the shore. That was from the time that we were hired in September to about the end of December. Now, we got some information from another lawyer that had already done some research, and that lawyer told me that he had spent six figures doing research. He had just touched the surface. The $38,000 roughly that we spent was everything else that is available. Again, the gentleman said that it would be an easy matter for a court to determine the natural shoreline of this shore. It is not. The natural shoreline was 150 years ago. The railroad had the right and a grant from this state to erect rail lines along the shore. The picture on the cover of this book must be from about the 1920s or 30s. It shows that the city had filled in well beyond all of the rail lines. But what you saw on the shore was rail lines. So the railroad had the power to and owned all of the shoreline from McKinley Park to the harbor entrance as it presently exists. Then the city got lakebed grants for everything next to the railroad and filled it in. Now, what Preserve Our Parks has proposed today is that the county accept the notion that it owns about a third of the land that is the transit center parcel. About a third.
The Transit Center parcel is all to the west of the line that was set by the City of Milwaukee in 1913 in a document that was recorded in the Register of Deeds office. We have investigated all of the history of those negotiations with the railroad, which permitted the city to fill in 600 or more feet from Wisconsin Avenue South to the new harbor entrance, which was going to be built. And the Army Corps would not build that harbor entrance until it was protected by dry land at the shore. The city couldn't build that, fill in that land, until it had an agreement with the railroad that its land stopped at that line. Because a 1907 decision had said that every time the city filled in an acre, another acre would be created by a natural process called accretion, just wave action, putting silt on the shore. And in 1907, the Supreme Court said that as many acres as the city had created by filling in to make a park, it had created that it didn't own and had to pay for. Many of those acres it had to buy from the railroad. When did it buy those acres? In 1913, in the agreement that I believe set that boundary line from McKinley to the harbor entrance forever and ever. Now, we spent $38,000 figuring that out, roughly. We spent about $50,000 preparing a lawsuit with a complaint that was ready to be filed to declare the boundary of the property. And a whole bunch of meetings, including, by the way, two meetings with Preserve Our Parks, in which we asked them, on behalf of you, the county, to enter into a reasonable agreement. POP said that it wants legal certainty, that they have tried to work this out. There was no compromise offered ever at any time by any person on the POP board. No compromise at all as to this boundary line, and no willingness at all to accept what I believe every governmental body and other private party has accepted for 100 years. The 1913 line is the boundary. They will not accept it. They want you to go back to some other line. Now, I became concerned about any other line for one reason. Here's a map of your shore. You see a yellow line on here. That is the 1913 line. It is also the median in Lincoln Memorial Parkway. The Transit Center is immediately to the west of that, about 15 feet to the west. You can see all the other proposed buildings, including the 833 Wisconsin. If not the 1913 line, I don't know where the line is. And I don't know which, if any, of these buildings can ever be built. You will also see on this map in white the Italian Community Center and a whole series of buildings that are proposed or envisioned in the Third Ward south of the Italian Community Center. There are private owners who own property in the Third Ward and south of the Transit Center property whose rights would be affected by any lawsuit declaring the boundary line at the Transit Center property. You cannot say there's a lawsuit about one parcel only. All you have to do is draw a ruler from that line that the court would set, north and south, to figure out where this shore is that the court has now declared. And if you're going to have a lawsuit about this property with the chance of affecting all of the Third Ward, then I guess you would have to name all of those people in your lawsuit to ask the court to decide if they own their property. Now, Supervisor Johnson made the very valid point that the legislature is very politicized right now. I really get that. And let me just say that as the county's lawyer, it has been difficult to represent the county in sensing what it is the county wants my law firm to do. But I have had to step back as a person, as a resident of this city. I am, by the way, I'll just skip all modesty. I'm the most famous title person in the country. I live in Milwaukee because I love this city. I was asked to live in Los Angeles and Chicago and New York, and I turned them all down because I want to live here. I have a book in my car that I wrote about title. It's 1,400 pages long. It'll soon be 1,500 pages long. But I've worked in this field for 32 years. This is all I do. I've testified in cases in 30 states about the title to real estate. I testified about the title to the Waukegan Harbor, and I gave a long report about how that harbor was built and who owns it. The most important thing that is the asset of this city is this shoreline. What we are talking about is where that shoreline is. That's the subject of this interest. The sale or the possible sale of this property to somebody, and I don't care who, unfortunately, carries with it all of these implications about the shore. Now, I understand that the legislature is politicized and that there have been some disagreements amongst county representatives between you. I am very apolitical. I don't even understand it. But the law that was adopted in June by the legislature declares forevermore where the boundary along all the shoreline is from McKinley to the harbor entrance. That is not a bad thing for the county. It gives certainty to you, the state, and to private parties. I would have liked to have explained to you more about the pending bill and its further effect on that declaration. But that law was a very useful thing. And there is no litigation today, I believe, because there is a law. Now, we spent about $52,000 in preparing a lawsuit, further researching title, and in discussing things with people like Preserve Our Parks. We spent about $31,000 from June until about July. I was serving as a technical advisor to the legislature. I don't view myself as a lobbyist, but I registered as a lobbyist. But because I thought someone could say, well, he was really lobbying. I was answering questions of the legislators about the shoreline because I was the guy who did the research. I don't consider myself to be a lobbyist for the county, but I registered. Some of that work, that $31,000, was answering questions. I fully acknowledge that. Now, since that time, from, say, the end of July forward, our law firm has spent about $10,000. We have been negotiating with all four of the major title insurers in the country about the insuring of this property. And I have, again, answered questions, a lot of questions from legislators, from the Legislative Council in Madison about the remedial law that is being proposed. And done other things that are related to getting this property sold. About $10,000 since that time. Again, I don't view any of that as being lobbying. We have negotiated, our firm has negotiated with, as I said, all of the major title, there are only four major title insurers in the country. I used to be the state counsel for one of them here and for a different one in another state. We have negotiated with them in strength on behalf of the county because you have carefully researched this and have presented, in my opinion, a very clear statement that the county owns all of this property, not some part of it. This issue continues to appear in the newspaper, with representatives of the county continuing to question whether or not the county owns the property. Title insurance people are just human beings. If the owner of property is questioning his title in an article that appears in the newspaper over and over, it makes people nervous. You could have title insurance tomorrow on the sale of this property, but you don't want to sell it to someone who can't get a loan to develop it. He doesn't want to buy it unless he can get a loan to develop it. if you sell it for a low, several million dollars, and there's a $150 million loan for development, how do you convince the development lender to lend $150 million? You can't force a title insurer to insure that lender for $150 million. And on the day you sell the property, that loan won't be in place anyway. So the more difficult thing is getting title insurance for that development loan. But that is what we have been working very hard on doing. We have made three successive approaches to the insurers, and each time, unfortunately, it was the press that thwarted the final agreement to insure. And it was partly the comments of representatives of my client, the county, in the press that made the insurers, who are people, worried about taking this risk. If you're the insurance company, you get a premium of maybe $25,000. Then you take a risk of $150 million. And you might pay out $50 million if it goes badly. That's the largest loss ever paid by a title insurer, $51.5 million. For $25,000 on property whose title the county itself is questioning, why would I take that risk? And yet, in June, the legislature declared the boundary line for very good reasons, with very much research having been done. All right. Now, a lot of what we have done is in preparation for litigation. The new budget that was proposed was to finish negotiations with title insurers, to be involved in litigation if necessary, with a real big X factor in there, because that is an unknown, and to represent the county on the actual sale of the property, all of which was part of your original resolution. I'd be happy to answer any questions about the proposed change in budget.
Mr. Vice Broderick.
Yeah. I mean, it seems rather simple. If a title insurance company will not issue a policy, given the possible interpretation of fact here, isn't a court order or a decision about where that boundary is in the interest of all parties involved? And why wouldn't you want that to be resolved by a court as soon as possible so things can proceed?
Respectfully, Supervisor, I think no. There is a law that declares the boundary.
Yeah, but that's open to question. That law can be interpreted.
Okay.
And that's what we want a court to do, so that we can get this development going.
I fully understand your point, and I agree with you with the idea. Here's the quandary at this moment. You have a law that declares the boundary. Some people in this room have suggested that they might assert that that law is unconstitutional. That would not be the county's position, I would hope. If the county, it is a, are you suggesting that the county should file a lawsuit to invite a court to disagree with the legislature? That would not be the normal process.
The determination is to, in the court's opinion, as the third party arbitrator in this matter and finder of fact, should they determine, and will they determine, and I believe they will if we file a suit, where that line, based on all the contrary opinions about where that line is to be drawn, where it really resides, and what's developable, not what's owned, but what's developable. I mean, it seems to me,
Supervisor,
that court decision would answer these concerns on the parts of all parties, give us clarity so that we can proceed. But instead, we're running up legal bills, doing research on a question that is very basic, and a court will determine if we ask them to. And that's all we asked back in February a year ago, is that counsel proceed to file that suit so we can have this determination. Why it hasn't been filed and why instead we have all these charges is a question that I have to ask myself as a guardian of the taxpayer's purse. You know, I mean,
Attorney Bushnell.
Supervisor, I fully understand what you're saying. I very much wanted the chance to explain in closed session further what has gone on and why there is a law or why I think it is a useful thing for the county. But what this resolution instructs Corporation Council to do is to file a lawsuit to quiet the title, that is, to declare where the boundary is. That is different from a lawsuit that would determine the constitutionality of a law that declares the boundary of the property.
I understand that, but tell me, is any title insurance company going to issue a policy without a court decision on this matter? Absent a court decision, are they going to take that risk? Isn't that the central question?
Can I just answer it this way?
Could you answer it yes or no?
If I can, I'm sorry to interrupt here, but another reason to go in closed session is negotiations. And now you're asking about questions regarding negotiations that we're having with several vendors that we're asking to eventually put in a $160 million policy. So you're going into another sector where the information to make sure that we're united in this effort to get the downtown transit center done and preserve, you know, east of the 1913 line in public trust is entirely related to our negotiations.
Or the 1884 line. I mean, that's what we want the court to decide. And once that decision is made, a title insurance will have the confidence to issue the policy. Why don't you want the court to decide it? Is your case so weak that you think you might... It might go the way you don't want it to?
Supervisor, statements that our legal case is weak or our position, the negotiation with the title company is weak, is not furthering the interest of the county.
And so yeah, and Jabberwocky doesn't get to the heart of matters.
All right. I question the concept that statements of a supervisor suddenly carry such weight. I think it's a legitimate question. Why are we not... What changed in terms of the direction a year ago versus the direction now? If litigation was the recommendation then, why is it not the recommendation now? Is that answerable in open session, or any further clarity to that?
I'm going to step in and say no. I mean, we do need the opportunity to brief you on legal strategy and our negotiations with title company to get this project done and continue to preserve the public trust rights east of the 1913 line, which is Lake Park. Those details and how they interact is very sensitive information that every time that we do something in public, the public realm, we have opposition that takes that information to change their own strategy. So we're in a very awkward position of disclosing our strategy and allowing other people to change theirs because of those comments, and that's why closed session was invented to address this exact circumstance. And without the benefit of doing that, then we're just going to have to keep the strategy to ourselves, which I don't think is in anybody's interest.
Corporation Counsel, can you describe how item 8 is treated with or without item 7? I mean, these may or may not proceed together. Item 7 would utilize the money appropriated in item 8 to file the lawsuit. If it's not approved, if item 7, it was approved in committee, if it's not approved by the board, how would this money be utilized to further the existing strategy? I guess I'm trying to understand how it gets redirected. If item seven proceeds, will the money only be used on the litigation strategy, or would there be a parallel track?
Well, our strategy, as it's developed, is see what happens with that statute that's proposed, and then make a litigation determination after we have an answer on the legislature. If that proposed legislation fails, then we'll have to look at some other litigation strategies. If it passes, the litigation picture becomes quite a bit different.
we're instructed to file suit soon. We'll need some more money to prepare the suit, although and prosecute it.
I guess what I'm asking is, if taken together, would the interpretation not be that your direction is to pursue litigation, and that's what the appropriation of money is for?
Certainly, if we are eventually if we are directed by, I guess, action of the full board to pursue litigation, then some of this money would definitely go toward that litigation, right? And perhaps all of it. Regardless, the amount that was authorized before is done, so we can't really do anything, I think, at this point. Is that right, Mark?
Mr. Chairman, the last statement is certainly true. The money that was authorized has been spent. The quandary, I guess, I have in answering your question is you have a resolution on the books adopted by the county board, which I believe authorized the expenditure of every penny of the $140,000 that was spent, would authorize continued expenditure with item 8 of an additional $50,000, but not necessarily limited to the resolution in item 7, because some money could be expended to further the purposes of the resolution adopted last year, as it has been for the last year. So I guess the question, or the answer I'm giving you, is not necessarily. I think the money in item 8, if it's allowed to proceed, will be spent to further the strategy and the policies adopted by the board in February of 2013, and to further the policies adopted in item 7 that's before you today. It would be doing both. It would not be limited solely to the resolution adopted today. It would be also be used to further the prior resolution. If item 8 is rejected, then nothing goes forward under any resolution through the use of outside counsel.
Supervisor Weissman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Grady, I thought we just explained earlier that because this, with the Act 14 process, that since it's under $300,000, that the request for money, regardless of what we vote on in judiciary, it goes before finance. And if it gets a passive review and they just say, yep, okay, go ahead, it goes forward, regardless of what the vote is on this committee.
There is no. It's my understanding that there is no vote on this committee, but I think it's important for members to understand how they relate, or are, whether they're in fact connected or disconnected. So it sounds like the explanation was that they would, both strategies could proceed on a parallel track utilizing this money, and so I think that's important for people to understand. I will have to vote on this next week in finance. So.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean, I think his comments were that if for some reason we didn't approve this today, that somehow there wouldn't be any gas in the tank to go forward. The fact is, regardless of what we do on this committee, it's the actions of the Finance Committee that will authorize the funding for it. We've decided to go forward with the policy of doing the lawsuit. Now Finance and Corp Counsel will take the action to finance that endeavor.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. I didn't mean this committee acting on item number 8.
Right.
I meant the full board acting on item number 8, or the Finance Committee and or the full board acting on item 8. That's what
right.
I meant.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments from committee? Seeing none. Item 9.